good afternoon. We have Pastor Linda Schreck, and she will be speaking on You Are Not Just a Volunteer.
Good. Thanks for being here today, just for Summit in general, and for coming into this workshop. I was saved at the age of 13 and volunteered right away, started volunteering right away. I was a clown at 13, and with all of the costume. My husband and I, we have always been volunteers. I am a credential holder. He is not. He's a volunteer. We have four boys, and they all volunteered too. It was the family business. We volunteer at church. And our oldest is going to be 40, and our youngest is going to be 32 this year. I had four boys 8 years and 3 days apart, and I'm still alive. I was a stay-at-home mom for 14 years. I didn't begin the credentialing process. I got my initial credential. I was 45. So I was a volunteer all up until that time, and now, of course, credential holders still volunteer, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to speak to you today as a full-time pastor, but also as a volunteer. And so first, I'm going to try to stick with my PowerPoint. Sometimes I forget, so just, you know, wave or something. So first, you are not filling a spot. You are fulfilling a calling. You're not just a body in a room. You're not filling a spot. You are fulfilling a calling. Our theme this summit is called by God. You are called by God to do what you're doing, where you're doing it, when you were doing it. How many of you were called by someone? Someone called you and said, hey, we need help in the nursery. We need help in ushering. Could you help, right? Yeah. A lot of us got called, or we got, you know, hoodwinked in the lobby of church, right? And so I was, like I said, a stay-at-home mom, and I was reading the book many years ago, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Mm. And I am reading the book up in my bedroom, and the phone rings, and it was our lead pastor. Would you consider filling in and being a children's ministry director? It was very part-time. Those of you in children's ministry know, right? It was very part-time, but it was full-time. Right? When you serve, right? God calls ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. What you are doing is not, I'm just in the nursery. I'm just an usher. I'm just a fill in the blank. You are an integral part in fulfilling a calling that God has on your life. Your yes is making an eternal impact in other people's lives. When we look at the disciples, they were volunteers. They were 12 guys who volunteered, right? Jesus said, you know, just go, don't bring anything with you, right? They got no compensation this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. What did they get? They got persecution this side of heaven, right? Jesus called them and they said yes. John 2, 43 through 46. These have been scriptures that have just really been. Have you ever read something and you get stuck there? Yeah. And you just can't. I can't read the whole Bible in a year because I get stuck. Now, I read the whole Bible, but it takes me longer than a year. John 2, 43 through 46 is one of those passages I've gotten stuck on. And it says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Finding Janelle, he said, follow me. Mm-hmm. Right? Finding Ingrid, he said, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Then Philip found Nathanael. So Philip is called by God to do what he was supposed to do, and he's not sure what it is yet, and he hasn't done it yet. But what does he do? He finds someone else. He recruits someone else right away. He found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. And about what the prophets also wrote? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Mm-hmm. All of us have said that, right? When we have had someone that we want to volunteer and we think, well, I don't know. I don't know if they can do it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Nathanael asked, come and see, said Philip. That's what volunteers need to just do. Let me try it out. Let me come and see if this is what God has called me to do. We try to tell that to our workers here. Just try it and see. and I'll be praying and fasting that you're going to stay there. Secondly, you're not fulfilling a spot, you are fulfilling a calling. It's a divine appointment. Where you are is a divine appointment. When you see a volunteer in the lobby here or in the hallway and you say, where's the bathroom? They're on divine appointment to tell you where the bathroom is. You need to know, right? And you think, well, they're just telling me where the bathroom is. But they've had a calling to be security or usher or a room host or whatever it might be. And then they're fulfilling that calling with divine appointments with each of you today. No matter what area you're serving, God has positioned you on purpose, for a purpose. You are an intentional part of what God is doing. You're not just filling a spot. Acts 6, 1 through 10. We have the, right after Pentecost, right? We have the widows who aren't being served, right? And so the disciples get together and they come together. It would be not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. It's not that they thought waiting on tables was lesser, it's that they were called to preach the word of God.
Right.
And they need someone else to wait on the tables, right? Pastor Greg, right? He needs someone else to make sure that the garbage is clean today. He can't do both. So you're an integral part of what God is doing. And so then they get together and they pray and they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then they choose some more and you notice I've deleted them. Jesus knows their names. I don't have time to tell you all their names. Volunteers know, you don't get recognition. But Jesus sees and rewards.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Knows, right?
That's right?
And so Stephen is a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And so they pray and they lay hands on the seven men. And so the word of God spread. Why? Because someone waited on tables.
That's right.
Because someone said the bathroom's down here. Because someone got up early and went to the nursery and changed a diaper so that mom could have some relief in the sanctuary and press in with Jesus. When my kids were little, I had one of my boys. My husband was a Sunday school superintendent, and he was like two, my third son. And we would pull into the church driveway, and he would start screaming because he knew he was going to the nursery. And I'm dragging him across the parking lot. I go into the nursery, and I say, here, he's fed, he's changed. I need this time in the sanctuary, please. And I knew if Ruth Hawkins was in there, she would hang on, and he would stop. But if I knew someone else, whose name I won't say because I'm getting audio recorded, who was in the nursery, I knew my number was coming up in 5 minutes. So the word of God spread. What you are doing is so valuable, I cannot tell you in words how valuable what you are doing is. And so the word of God spread, and then there was opposition, but they could not stand against the wisdom the Spirit gave Stephen as he spoke. God speaks to volunteers and gives you wisdom on how to handle a certain situation. Lord, what should I do? How can I help this person? What can I do? Next, the kingdom of God runs on calling, not convenience. All the volunteers said amen, right? The kingdom of God runs on calling, not convenience. And it costs you something to volunteer. We're called to make disciples and serve one another in love. That one who you can't stand and you have to say, good morning, glad you're here today. Or, oh no, Johnny's coming in again. I'm gonna need aspirin right away. You're called and it's not convenient. My stepbrother got married many years ago and they are very new age and things like that. And so they had somebody doing this marriage ceremony, you know, the wedding ceremony, like, I don't know, she had like, you know, the flowers and the flowery dress, not to say flowery dresses are bad or anything like that, but she was, you know, she got online and got I can marry somebody. And they got to the vows and they repeated, as long as it is convenient. It was in the marriage vows. We'll love each other as long as it is convenient. And my husband and I looked at each other and thought, maybe we could take the check back before we give him the check and the card. And today, divorced, of course, because it's not convenient, right? It's a calling, not convenient, right? God, the kingdom of God runs on calling, not convenience. Noah builds an ark. He's a volunteer for 100 years. You think you're stuck in the nursery for years. Noah is building an ark, not getting paid. He's a volunteer, getting made fun of for 100 years. You can do it. You can stick with where you are. Man wakes up on a Sunday morning, tells his wife, I'm too tired, I'm not going to church today. His wife says, you have to go, you're the pastor. It's not always convenient for the pastors to come to church on Sunday either. If you have a commitment, please keep the commitment, right? Children's ministry is notorious for getting a call right before they're supposed to be here and say, I can't make it today, right? It is, it's every church, right? And it's not convenient. The kingdom of God runs on calling, not convenience. It's time consuming. It costs you something emotionally when you volunteer, right? You're not so much in the service. You're focused on other things. It can be spiritually depleting and energizing at the same time. You can't just be depleted. You have to come to things where you just get to show up and it magically all happens for you, right? Like today, right? It can be spiritually depleting and energizing when a little kid comes to you and says, I gave my heart to Jesus and you're in children's ministry. That was worth it, right? When you're a security guy, I always thanks for coming. I hope we don't need you today. That's what I tell them. Thanks for serving today in security and safety, but I sure hope we don't need you. And they laugh because they know, right? That they don't, hopefully we don't have a challenge that way. It financially costs you something. You can't work when you're volunteering, right? Some of you could work on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Friday night, right? And then you buy supplies and don't put the receipt in, right? It costs you something. Next, you are part of the body, not an accessory. You are part of the body, not an accessory. You are not a necklace, you are the neck. You're not the eyeglasses, you're the eye, right? We all know those scriptures, right? Where you're part of the body, an eye, all of that. You're not an accessory. You are a needed part of the body. What you do behind the scenes that people don't see and people don't realize how long it took you to cut out those things, Jesus sees and he rewards in ways that we could never get rewarded otherwise. He sees and rewards in only ways he can. You are not insignificant, you are necessary. Pastor Greg said it in the opening, right? We're thankful for credential holders, we're thankful for that, but we're really thankful today for the 50 volunteers we have, and the teenagers, and everyone else that's volunteering today and have been. They were here yesterday, putting together 500 Chick-fil-A boxes, right? Taking out furniture. This is a toddler room during the week in the academy, and on Sundays it's a nursery. There's no furniture in here. Don't ask where it is. But they had to all go, and then these chairs had to be brought in. You are part of the body, not an accessory. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body. We are one body. You are a body part, not an accessory. And so then it goes on, right? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You are gifted and have abilities that your pastor needs. that your church needs, that your community needs. You get to, if you're a greeter at the door, you get to welcome that first-time visitor for the first time. And they see you with a smile on your face. And when he calls you, he equips you. Look at the disciples, right? Mm-hmm. Acts 4:13. They were unschooled, ordinary men. And the people were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have a gentleman in our church, Ryan. When he was 18, he was in a horrible car accident, hit a telephone pole, had brain damage. And I tell you, he's the best greeter we have. He's there with a smile on his face, with his cane, and he sits in the front row. He walks all the way down the aisle and sits in the front row. That's his chair. What an encouragement. What excuse do I have that I won't volunteer when I see someone that has physical handicaps and has brain damage opening the door for someone that's completely capable to open the door for themselves?
That's right.
Right? You are part of the body, not an accessory. You are called to be stewards of his grace. Oh, here I go. See, someone didn't bark at me here. There's the scriptures that we just read. You are called to be stewards of God's grace. The adage, you get what you paid for. What do you expect them, a volunteer? You get what you paid for? Jesus paid it all.
Yes, he did.
How could I ever thank him enough? I can't serve him enough to say thank you to him. You are stewarding grace, not just managing tasks. You are stewarding grace, not just managing tasks. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Jesus paid it all. I'm going to serve him till my last breath. I don't care how he asks me. Well, I do care. Right? When my kids were in youth group, our oldest, who I told you was going to be 40 this year, when he was 13, it was time for youth group. And so I brought him to our church and into the youth area. I was in the youth area 30 seconds and I said, I have found a ministry I cannot do. Give me kids, give me geriatrics, give me someone that's in hospice, give me details, don't give me youth. Because I'd have the boys over here, the girls over here, let's pray. That would be it, that would be youth group if I was the youth director or the youth pastor or the youth volunteer. But God has a specific, so I need the youth guys that do youth, because I can't do it. I need people that will minister to my grandchildren. I have 4 grandchildren in Florida who I get to see a couple of times a year. And when they call and tell me what they learned in children's church, I'm like, how can I thank those workers? They're doing something I can't do because I'm not there. You are so valuable. And nobody says thank you. I'm saying thank you. I told you that I got saved when I was 13. My father would drop me off at the small Dutch Reformed Church in Elmhurst, Queens for Sunday school. He'd drop me off, he'd go get coffee, and he'd come back after an hour. And I had my Sunday school lesson. And it was a small church. There were only 2 girls. Me and Carrie. And the pastor's wife, who wasn't getting paid, you know, just because they're a pastor's wife, don't think, you know, they're volunteering. They have to volunteer, but they're volunteering.
Right.
She would be my Sunday school teacher. She would come, and she had Jean Nattei perfume on.
Jean Nattei.
And her bag with all sorts of snacks and coloring and flannel graph and all that. And every year, I still had Mrs. Boyce as my teacher. Because they were just 2 girls in Sunday school,
yeah.
Every year.
I got to be 12 years old, and my parents thought, well, she's going to be a teenager. Let's go to a different church that has some teenagers. So we changed churches. And my parents just came Christmas and Easter. And we were there from 12 years old. And when I was 13, my father committed suicide. And so I went to bed that night, the night I learned that he did that. I laid in bed, my 1976 orange-painted bedroom with orange and yellow shag rug, my orange and yellow bedspread. They don't even make bedspreads anymore, right? They're comforters or duvets, whatever. And I said this sentence. I'm telling you, I said this sentence. Okay, God, I don't have a father anymore. You're going to have to be my father. Mm. How did I know to do that? Mm-hmm. From Mrs. Boyce.
That's right.
Who showed up every Sunday morning.
That's right.
When it wasn't convenient, because it was a calling. She was part of the body, not an accessory. Mm. And we left that church. She doesn't know whatever happened to Linda Pullman. She doesn't know she met John Schreck and got married. She doesn't know that eventually she got a credential and now she's ordained, and I serve as the executive presbyter female for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this little old lady that smelled like Jean Nate told me that Jesus loves me, that Noah built an ark, that God kept his promise to Abraham. Mm-hmm. And someone opened the door for me. Because my dad didn't open the door, he dropped me off. They don't do that anymore, right? Hardly ever.
No,
I drop off a kid anymore, right? But how important a volunteer is.
Whether or not you're told thank you, I say thank you. You were called to be stewards of his grace, and we read that scripture. You get what you paid for? Jesus paid it all.
That's right.
They better get all of me. At the church. They better get all of me. What does Jesus expect of me as a volunteer? Not what do they expect. I'm just a volunteer. They want me to come prepared? They want me to come early? Worship team on Sunday here is at 7 a.m. for practice. And they're here for two services. Right? Production is here at 7 a.m. We had teams here yesterday setting up these rooms like I told you. We sing, "You are worthy of it all." Well, except my time.
Right.
It's easy to sing, "You are worthy of it all," till somebody asks me to serve.
Right.
Our youth director is new this year. He started in January. He's never been to a leadership summit. And now he's the youth director and in charge of the teens that are doing a lot of the work. And so he comes to me like at 8 o'clock. "Do we have any Advil?" I said, "Yes, we do." And then he's the one that put the podium up before Pastor Greg made the announcements. And before he did that, he was standing here. I said, "Julian, I want you to look at the sanctuary with all those hands up. All these people serve, but today they don't have to. Today we get to serve them." I said, "They just have to show up and enter in and not wonder if the air conditioning is on or why, or the sound's a little funny, but I don't have to fix it today," or whatever it might be. So we get to serve as volunteers with excellence, with prayer. Don't just show up and be a body. Be a praying volunteer. Faithful. I talked about that already. Be in the Word for yourself. What do you have to give if it's not in you? Be on time. Be timely. And be prepared. You all know those things. But I'm pleading with you to do them today. That's a ministry director back there that's in charge of a volunteer team. Your attitude matters. We had one of the teen girls is here. And so we're here, 7:45, they were supposed to come and so forth and so on. And so she's standing in the lobby in her t-shirt with the poutiest face you could see. And I said, "Are you all right?" "Uh-huh." And I said, 5 minutes, Ingrid, put that sign down. I said,
if you do not want to be here, you can leave. But I need you to be smiling and happy to serve today. Now, I can say that to a teenage girl, but I would say it to all of you, too. You need to smile and be happy to serve, and not complain in the car on the way home about it. It's important. Your attitude matters. It changes the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
The worship team, they're happy to worship, so it makes you happy to worship. When you're there and you see, you know, the choir or somebody up and they're not smiling, it affects you. But your attitude changes the atmosphere when you serve. When a parent comes into the nursery and you don't go, oh no, not this one again. But you say, I'm so happy to see you. Thanks for trusting us with your child. Your attitude matters. You are on mission for the master. You're not just serving the pastor, you're serving your department head or serving the church. You are on mission for the master. If he can wash feet, I can show up with a good attitude because Jesus saved me. When you have the mindset that you are just a volunteer, you are diminishing what God is doing. Luke 10, 1, right? The 70, Jesus sends out the 72 and they go out ahead of him. Your attitude matters. Colossians 1, 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're going to be sad to serve? Come on. Years ago, I was a children's pastor, and I was stepping out of that role, and they had the volunteers had the kids write something. This says, Dear Mrs. Schreck, because I was a volunteer. I wasn't Pastor Linda. Thank you for being a great Sunday school teacher. You taught me a lot of things I can't remember. Dear Mrs. Schreck, thank you for having all of us in your Sunday school. It is amazing. 2 weeks ago, I accepted Christ in my heart. Now I feel good. Thank you for supporting me.
Aww. Praise God.
Serving can be spiritually depleting and energizing. I save it. You see, it's in a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a box or something or a piece of paper, you know. Fran thanked me today and put the date and say that so that when Fran tells you or you know Mark says you can remember that someone thanked you and someone appreciated you. Commit to serving with renewed purpose today. Jesus is worth it. There's scriptures there I want to give you. You also have some resources at the end there as well. I do want to read one last thing. I think I have 1 minute, right? I'm going to take one of your handouts and read it because I don't have it. All right, Rachel Quigley, she does Encourage Ministry. She's here. She's a pastor's wife. She wrote this recently. It's been a little over 2 weeks since my friend unexpectedly passed away. It was a shock to hear that one night she went to sleep, then didn't wake up. Our friendship spans over 20 years, and in that time, we had numerous conversations about ministry. We both understand serving in ministry along with the demands and joys of this life. As I sat back in the sanctuary during her memorial service, my eyes moved across the room. The place was packed, each seat filled by a life my friend had impacted. How many hours had she spent in the sanctuary? How many times had she vacuumed the carpet, gathered left-behind tissues, communion cups and gum wrappers? How many tears had fallen from her cheeks as she interceded for those in this community? How many joy-filled weddings, baby dedications, and celebrations had she prepared, adding small additions no one else knew about? In ministry, our lives are offered as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then it continues. In Acts 8:2. Here comes Ingrid. Acts 8:2. I'm going to end with this verse. Acts 8:2.
Sorry. and we talked about it at the beginning. He dies. Acts 8:2 says, godly men mourned deeply for him and buried him. That's what my testimony wants to be. Godly people will recognize I serve Jesus.
Amen.
And I did it well.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Lunch.